Jai Radha Madhava, Jai Kunti. Sata Shri Srimadas Divine Rishna A.C. Bhaktivedanta Sahibhaya Srila Prabhupada Ki Iskand Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Anand Pati Vaishnavinda Ki Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki M. Segava Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Radha Srivastava Gaudiya Bhaktivedanta Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur Prabhupada Shyamakrita Radha Kunigiri Govindana Ki Shri Vrindavan Dhana Ki Shri Mayapur Dhana Ki Ganga Maya Ki Jamuna Maya Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Tulasi Devi Ki Samaveta Bhaktivedanta Ki Jainita Gaurati All glories to the Samaritans. All glories to the Samaritans. All glories to the Samaritans. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gaurang. All glories to Shri Guru. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Nahyasya,
Nahyasya,
Janmano,
Janmano,
Hetu,
Hetu,
Paramano,
Paramano,
Va,
Va,
Mahipate,
Mahipate,
Atma,
Atma,
Mayam,
Mayam,
Vineshasya,
Vineshasya,
Parasya,
Parasya,
Drashtur,
Drashtur,
Atmana,
Atmana,
Nahyasya janmano hetu
Nahyasya janmano hetu
Karmano va mahipate
Karmano va mahipate
Atma mayam vineshasya
Atma mayam vineshasya
Parasya drashturatmana
Parasya drashturatmana
Nahyasya janmano hetu
Nahyasya janmano hetu
Karmano va mahipate
Karmano va mahipate
Atma mayam vineshasya
Atma mayam vineshasya
Parasya drashturatmana
Parasya drashturatmana
Nahyasya janmano hetu
Nahyasya janmano hetu
Karmano va mahipate
Karmano va mahipate
Atma mayam vineshasya
Atma mayam vineshasya
Parasya drashturatmana
Parasya drashturatmana
Janmano hetu
Nayasya janmano hetu
Karmano va mahipate
Atmanaya
Vineshasya.
Atmanaya Vineshasya.
Personality of Godhead.
Janmana,
of the impurities, or taking birth.
Hetu,
there is any cause.
Karmana,
not for acting.
Va,
either.
Mahipate,
O King,
Maharaj Parikit.
Atmamayayam,
Atmamayayam,
his supreme compassion,
for the fallen souls.
Vina,
without.
Ishasya,
of the supreme controller.
Parasya,
of the personality of Godhead,
who is beyond the material world.
Drashtu,
of the super soul,
who witnesses everyone's activities.
Atmana,
of the super soul of everyone.
Translation. O King, Maharaj Parikit, but for the Lord's personal desire, there is no cause for his appearance, disappearance, or activities. As the super soul, he knows everything. Consequently, there is no cause that affects him, not even the results of fruitive activities. Purport. This verse points out the difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and an ordinary living being. An ordinary living being receives a particular type of body according to his past activities.
Karmana daiva netrena jantur deho papattaye.
A living being is never independent and can never appear independently. Rather, one is forced to accept the body imposed upon him by Maya according to his past karma. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 1861,
Yantra Rudhani Mayaya.
The body is a kind of machine created and offered to the living entity by the material energy under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the living entity must accept a particular type of body awarded to him by Maya, the material energy, according to his karma. One cannot independently say, give me a body like this, or give me a body like that. One must accept whatever body is offered by the material energy. This is the position of the ordinary living being. When Krishna descends, however, he does so out of his merciful compassion for the fallen souls. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4:8,
Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge.
To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I invent myself millennium after millennium. The Supreme Lord is not forced to appear. Indeed, no one can subject him to force, for he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is under his control, and he is not under the control of anyone else. Foolish people who, because of a poor fund of knowledge, think that one can equal Krishna or become Krishna are condemned in every way. No one can equal or surpass Krishna, who is therefore described as asamavardha. According to the Vishvakosha Dictionary, the word Maya, used in the sense of false pride, and also in the sense of compassion. The word Maya is used for this,
the sense of false pleasure and also in the sense of compassion. For an ordinary living being, the body in which he appears is his punishment. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Daivi Hyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratiya. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But when Krishna comes, the word Maya refers to his compassion or mercy upon the devotees and fallen souls. By his potency, the Lord can deliver everyone, whether sinful or pious. So there's points being made here that the Lord, when he appears, then it is his kindness, his compassion. The living entity then, due to their false ego or false identity, then comes to the material world. This is the whole point. The living entity, because of mistaking themselves to be the controller and enjoyer, then they end up in the material world. This is the place for such persons. So that false identity then creates the living entity's endeavor in the material world, and that endeavor then creates the future body or the position one's in, from which one will perform further activities, further karma, which will provide further forms, further bodies. So, but Krishna, because of this, then he is very kind. So then he comes to the material world for just the opposite purpose, to free the living entity from that false ego. So that is compassion. Sometimes compassion is taken in many ways. Compassion is, you're just being nice to somebody. Basically, you're fulfilling their material desire, their material need. Someone has a need that is fulfilled, that is considered kindness or compassion. So that's the general sense. So here, Krishna fulfilling the actual need of the living entity, then that becomes the real compassion. So that's actually compassion. Because otherwise, fulfilling the material need then may continue the living entity's identity with the material energy, or as the controller and enjoyer. So we see is that the living entity's ego comes in conflict with the Lord's Lord's endeavor to uplift the living entity from that situation of false ego. So we see is that this is a very crucial point. This pivot between the living entity's false ego and the Lord's kindness upon them. So the false ego, they're supposed to be servant, right? So, but they're not. They're in the position of false ego. So the Lord's mercy removes them from that position of false ego and brings them to their actual position, right? So false ego takes them from their actual position to their false position. And the Lord's mercy takes them from that false position back to their actual position. So we see it's actually the same thing. This is the interesting thing about the uniqueness, actually, of the Vedic perception, the Vedic view on things, is that the one item that goes both ways, it can be defined in two seemingly contradictory, absolutely contradictory ways. Right? When someone has false ego, generally you don't see compassion. Right? And where there's compassion, generally one is not, you know, accustomed to there being false ego. But here, we see it's the same aspect is connected. It's fixed on the same point. And not only, and we see is that that point is the activity. Right? The position means what is going on. Because of false ego, wanting to enjoy, then wanting to be separate from the Lord, then the Lord, the devotee, goes away from that position and takes up the false ego within the material world. And so the Lord, his compassion, then creates also activity that brings back to Krishna. So we see the activity is the central point. And the difference in activity, what makes one activity or another activity different, is actually the mentality or the consciousness. Right? So those things are passive. Relationship is passive. Attraction is passive. Attachment is passive. You know, one's need is passive. It's there. It's within the mind. So it's the inspiration to do something. But the actually trying to attain what is the passive concepts within the mind, that is what creates the activity. Right? So whether that's material or spiritual, it's the same principle. It means the affection for Krishna, the attraction to Krishna by the living entity, or the particular relationship, that is passive. Only when one acts on that relationship, acts to fulfill the purpose of that relationship, then there is activity. Then we see something happening. Then it becomes externally manifest. So we see here is that the living entity, because he has changed his mentality from I am the servant to I am the controller, then that brings him to material activity. Right? But in Krishna's kindness, his compassion changes that back, so then it brings him to spiritual activity. So what's happened is just the change in the consciousness. So that is the actual point, is the consciousness is the real thing on what is our activity. So the activity itself sometimes is very difficult to understand. It is very difficult to understand, is this activity spiritual or material? Is it proper or improper? So the real thing is to see the consciousness. The consciousness then, this is difference between one and the other. Otherwise, externally, it may look exactly the same. Right? Because the point is the activity will get you a result. Now, the result is whether it's for yourself or whether it's for Krishna. Then one can't see by the work itself. There may be some subtleties, of course, in the behavior in that, but in principle, the activity may look the same. I mean, someone will go to the market, they will buy things, they will come back, they will prepare things, they will serve, they will eat, they will talk, discuss, have a nice time, socialize, all these things will be there. But whether that is being done for material or spiritual purposes depends on the consciousness. But otherwise, the activity itself will be the same. Right? Of course, one can tell by symptoms such as what is that association, what are the topics being discussed, what is the kind of food being prepared. But the act of cooking will look the same. Right? You can't. There's no difference. Right? It means one person cooks a potato, you know, for his own satisfaction. Another person cooks a potato to offer to the Lord. The process of cooking the potato will be the same principles, right? So, therefore, the consciousness is very important. So we see this is what is special that's brought out by the acharyas, why we have to take shelter of the acharyas, why we can't just speculate. Because this subtle point may be missed. Otherwise, how is the same word maya also meaning compassion? Right? So therefore we see is that because we have yoga maya, maha maya. So maha maya means when it is touched with false ego. And yoga maya means then when it is the Lord's kindness to the living entity, where he interacts with them. Right? But otherwise, both are the same principle. Activity is the central point. So here we see also is that the Lord's appearance is being described, and so this is a pastime. So this is, his aspect is Vasudev. So he appears, and so therefore he's known as Vasudev. And we also see is that in here it's mentioned that he has appeared to establish religious principles. So that is Shankarshan. It means all the four aspects of Godhead, Shankarshan, Prajumna, Ariruddha, and Vasudev, then they have particular functions. Prajumna then attracts us. Aniruddha, he sets the direction, the proper example for us.
So the Lord has all these moods. So Krishna is Swayam. Everything is there within Him. But otherwise, then when He manifests His pastimes, you know, in outside of Braj, then He'll be taking one of these moods, one of these four moods, depending upon what is the activity, what He is doing. Any questions or comments? Yes.
God is made of Maya to Mayapur.
Maya to Mayapur. Yes.
Why not? Is it Maya or village?
Yeah. Village. Yeah. Village of Maya or village of compassion? Yes. That's good. What?
So this is the village of compassion.
Yes, unless one's in Maya. Like that. Yeah. Means, in other words, if one is acting out of service for the Lord, then one is in the village of compassion. But if it is acting out of pride, then one is in Maya. Though, of course, the effect of the Dham is very powerful here. But the flavor that we will taste will be different. Because if we appreciate, then we can see the Lord's kindness. And then the place becomes very attractive, very pleasant for us. But if not, if we're the ego, then unfortunately the means kindness is gentle. And the experience is also gentle. But ego is rough, and unfortunately the results of ego are also rough. And so that's the problem, is that because we identify with the ego, therefore what comes in opposition to that, we will take as our enemy. We will see in a bad light. So therefore, even when the Dham itself, through the Lord's agents, it means that the Lord's kindness comes through the Lord's agencies of the Dham and His Swarup Shakti. Then, because the medicine matches the disease. And so therefore the roughness of ego is dealt with roughly. And we may mistake it to be the Dham or the devotees or the process or the mission or, the institution or anything. Anything that we can identify. In other words, that we'll see according to external vision. That we'll see according to what we relate to. Persons, place, things, money, positions, facilities, like this. So anything that externally we can work with, right? Because the ego will come in the form of the body, in the form of the senses, in the form of, the enjoying mood, the controlling mood. These will be where the ego will sit. And so then it's going to bother that. We're the controllers, so if that's what's manifesting, then situations where we're not the controllers. So whatever is the external instrument that is used to correct that control, we will see as our opposition, our enemy. Anything that comes in the way of us enjoying whatever instrument is used, that will be our enemy. In the way of our senses, or in the way of our bodily identification, or facilities, or position of the body, they'll become enemy. So then the difficulty comes is then we may give up the association of the Dham, give up the association of the devotees. So that's the difficulty. So we always have to be careful like that. Is that then that will be the difference whether we're in the village of compassion or the village of not so compassion. That makes sense? The quadruple expansion.
Are for expansion, so you're saying that if you worship by the Lord as the supreme controller one is giving time, then you know he must possibly go to whatever. He's that same person, but how is it that you're worshiping in this? According to his mood, he's known as active. What about the person who's actually, you know, we see that he probably has those different names for him, mentality or.
Right here? So the question is about that. We explained about Shankarshan Pajin, the Vasudeva and Aniruddha. And just so, do we call him by those names according to how we're worshipping? We do see in Bhagavatam that it's mentioned that if we want to control the mind, then we worship Aniruddha, because he's in control of the mind. So that is that the that particular ego of, you know, what we see as religious, what we accept, reject, what do we accept as standard, how our values in life. Then Shankarshan then is the ego of the body and the identity that goes with that body. You know, the positions, the country, the place, the age, the gender, all those different things that go with the externals of the body. Prajumna is he's in control of the false ego that deals with the senses. So our attraction to the material energy, our desire to enjoy the material energy, you know, in whatever form of it may be, that is controlled by Prajumna. And then Vasudeva is the basically the polluted consciousness, where I am the controller. Like that. So So it starts from Vasudeva, like that. Vasudeva is there. Then Shankarshan, then it creates the gross body. Then with the senses, then we have our particular things that we enjoy, like that. So it starts with that. So it starts from Vasudeva, ends with Aniruddha. So one can approach the Lord in those different forms to become freed from those four kinds of false ego. Like that. That's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Same time as all those being expanses of Krishna, everything's in Krishna. So he does perform the pastimes. He is the attractive person. Like that. He does set the example. He does correct the improper, you know, mentality and all that. So those four are also there in Krishna. He manifests it just in different ways. So when you take one of them, and that becomes prominent as a pastime, then it takes on that mood, like that. But otherwise, when all of them are, you know, blended together, then that's Krishna, like that. Yes.
Since we are
on
the subject of the quadruple expansion, there's a second one, called the second quadruple expansion, another Aniruddha, another Vasudeva.
Means they expand again.
Yes.
Means Krishna.
What is the relationship between one and the other? Why is that?
So it means Krishna is expanded as Baladev. Krishna is Swayam, so then he is complete. All the characteristics of Godhead are in within him. And since he is the origin of everything and everybody else relates with him, then he is the Vishaya, the enjoyer of all. He's the reservoir of pleasure. Reservoir of all rasa, and everybody else relates to him in rasa. They have a rasa towards him. You understand? Means Krishna is rasa, and everybody else is in a rasa. You understand? There's a difference. Mother Yashoda is in the parental rasa, but Krishna is rasa. You understand? So therefore, since he is rasa, Mother Yashoda comes in contact. She will draw from Krishna the mood of being a son. Right? Radharani is in the conjugal rasa. She'll draw from Krishna the mood of being boyfriend. Like Sridham, Sudham, they'll draw from Krishna the mood of being, you know, a friend. Does that make sense? So the devotee is in a rasa, but Krishna's not in a rasa, he is rasa. Does that make sense? So that's what distinguishes him from every other living entity that there is, even the other Vishnu Tattvas. That's what makes him unique. He is the ocean of rasa, and all rasas come back to him. because he's the source of them. So everyone has a relationship with him. Right? So that makes him the supreme subject. He is the subject of everyone. Like that. Right? It means this is in this definition. We're not talking about he's the object of worship. No, we're talking about here of the subject being the one who the worship is on. Like Krishna is the subject of Mother Jashoda's parental rasa, right? So he's the subject of that. So she's the object, meaning that she is the one then who he then bestows that interaction upon. So she becomes the object of the parental rasa, but he's the subject of it, like this. So when Baladev, he expands, he has all the qualities that Krishna has, complete. But since he's expanded, he also has the mood of servant. So even though he is also Vishaya or the, you know, rasa, but he also still has a mood of service towards Krishna. Does that make sense? But he, being the Supreme Lord, he has all five rasas with Krishna. Right? He experiences all five aspects. Like that. He serves in all those ways. Right? So then, yeah, but he is servant. So he then expands as Mahanarayan. That means means the pastimes in Dwarka. Right? Like that. And then from there, then Mahanarayan then expands as into, you have the Vasudeva Shankarshan Prajumna Nadi Rudra. So Mahanarayan, some say there's Mathura. That's why it's a little hazy. You know, what is the position there? Then from him expands Sankarshan. Right? Sankarshan then expands Vasudeva, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. Right? Then that Sankarshan expands again into another Sankarshan, and those Vasudeva, Prajumna, Aniruddha come out again. That expands that Sankarshan into another, like this unlimitedly goes on. So that creates the whole line of Vaikuntha. All the Vaikuntha expansions. Another expansion is from Shankarshan expands Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Karanadakshaya Vishnu. The Purusha Avatar. So Karanadakshaya, Garbhodakshaya, and Hiridakshaya Vishnu. So then Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, then Karanadakshaya Vishnu is Shankarshan, because he's expanded. And then Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is Prajumna, and Hiridakshaya Vishnu, or the Super Soul, is Aniruddha. Alright, so he expands everything. He establishes, you know, this facility in which the living entities can then perform the religious duties, right? So that's Shankarshan, is what he does. Then Prajumna creates the attraction. So Garbhodakshaya Vishnu expands into everything and creates the attraction of within the material nature that the living entity is attracted to. Right? Because if material energy is dead, it would not be attractive. But because Krishna, as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu in his mood of Prajumna, enters it, he makes it attractive. Right? So what we think is material energy is actually means what we think is our attraction to the material energy is actually our indirect attraction to Krishna. We don't know it, but that's actually what it is. But we don't identify it with Krishna. We identify it with the material energy. And I'm the controller and enjoyer. Therefore, then we get karma. We get reactions. You know, like that. And then Aniruddha, then is Super Soul, means Kiridakshaya Vishnu. He sets the example and standards for everyone. As, you know, the demigods go to him, Brahma goes to him, he sets the standards, everything works according to that. So he is the lord of the demigods, like that. The general demigods don't know Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Because he's before the creation. But after it's created, then Hiridaksha enters it, so the demigods know him. It means the demigods that we know him. The ones that are with Garbhodakshaya Vishnu or Karanadakshaya Vishnu, those are primeval demigods. Those are the personifications of the particular potencies of the Lord that are eternally with him. That then they expand, those primeval demigods expand as the demigods that we know. they have the they give the potency. It means the jivas change, but the potency is there. Like Indra is then a potency. Like that. And then a jiva comes and takes that potency and uses it as Indra. But with Garbha, Daksha, Vishnu, or with Vishnu, are already these potencies manifest. You know, personifications like that. So they're not the demigods that the people here are worshipping. Like that. So we see is that there's difference in moods depending upon the potency and depending upon the relationship. So therefore, all the expansions of Balaram included, then they have a relationship with the Lord as servant. Like that. They have a serving mood towards Krishna. Like that. So they all know, they know He's the source. So they worship Krishna. Like that. But at the same time, because they are Godhead, they are Vishai, then the Vishai for their particular devotees. Like that. So they worship them, him, and their rasas with him. But he has a rasa with Krishna. Does that make any sense?
Can you
kind of
relate with what you said right now about how we relate to people on different levels, relate to the folks who work, how we relate to them as a that they are. And to extend to that, you know, this is a difficult thing when you think about how to relate to people. Do you relate with them to some extent to the right group, or you relate with them with? So what, if you can, you know, this is a thing I was thinking for a long time. I mean, I love some things, but if you can more elaborate on these things, you know, what is the actual thing which determine how we are relating to people. I mean, in Sankirtan you're relating with ordinary people, but also in preaching you're relating with the devotees of different people. So what does it mean that continue that you can relate with them on the spiritual level? How you overcome all this? Because I personally find out if you want to relate with someone, you need to start from somewhere. So then it's natural you start from some kind of relation. You know, you first do this and this and this, and then you jump. But how that actually goes? To me, it's complex.
One starts from the whatever is the natural social relationship, because that's the medium through which you're going to relate. Just like we're speaking now, the subject matter is one thing, to be related in any language, right? But it's being related through English, right? So English is just a medium. So then the particular relationship is the medium through which then rasa is expressed. Right? So therefore one has to identify what is the relationship. That's the thing that has to be done. Now the thing is external is only there when we see it separate from Krishna, because all relationships come from Krishna. Everything's coming from Krishna. So when we see it in connection to Krishna, it's not external. When we see it separate from Krishna, then it becomes external. So the same potency is there. That's why you can work with the same relationship on the spiritual level or on the material level, or a combination of both. So the point is you have to work according to, one, our realization, and two, according to the other person's realization. So then that will determine how you deal, is depending upon that. So you generally start, especially if you're dealing with non-devotees, you start from wherever they think they are. And then from there, you slowly, slowly bring it to where they actually are. And you bring it as far as they can go. You don't go beyond it, because that would be false ego on our part. Is that I'm going to take beyond. No, it's that by Krishna's mercy, then we become an instrument for that kindness Krishna gives to them. So we can neither have false ego to think I'm doing it, so therefore what has happened is because I have done it, or that I will take it beyond that. You know? So if I'm the doer, then one takes credit for what one has done, and one will probably miss where the balance is. One will go either not far enough or too far. Right? Like that. You know, considering that we know what's the standard. You know, when it's no, Krishna sets the standard. You know, how to behave, this and that. You know, like devotees may think, oh, it won't be, you know, we'll disturb people if we go out in our devotional clothes. We shouldn't disturb people. But then when you do wear your devotional clothes and people come up and ask, oh, where have all you been? We don't see you anymore. Right? So people are wanting to see. It's our ideas they don't. Because of false ego. We think if I wear, someone will criticize, say something, it'll change the relationship, and then I won't be able to control and enjoy how I want. So therefore, our own false ego, we have to see that doesn't get in the way, and we see what's the other person's false ego, and then try to engage that, you know, connect it to Krishna for a while. That makes some sense. Still, even in this consideration, we have to take it further. We have to go further than this. Because if we're going by that, the point is that one can't tell by the externals, then one can't necessarily say that someone who is following the externals nicely is not advanced. Or that someone who isn't following is advanced. You know, so we have to be able to take it finer. So the point is generally, since it is, you have many mixed things, because not everybody advances in the same areas at the same speed. Right? You have like 9 processes, so someone may go ahead in one more and someone else in another. Or there may be certain aspects of the movement, the mission, that they excel in quicker than others, and others not. So just to say that it's just their material ability doesn't necessarily have meaning, because then it may be there, but it may not be. I've seen so many people who are very intellectual and all that, and Krishna doesn't give them the time of day as far as being acknowledged as intelligent. I've seen very big, big intellectual people, professors, other things, they come into the movement, come in contact, and no one even recognizes their intelligence. While someone else who has, doesn't, by material standards, doesn't have, then people consider him, very practical and level-headed. And what they say then is listened to. So, therefore, is this the point this verse here is making out, is that Krishna is beyond all this. So how Krishna is going to work, we have to be very, very careful to see, is that someone stays in the movement is not just because of false ego and position in that. It's not enough to keep anybody around. One devotee pointed out, someone was saying, you're supposed to be, sadhus and all this, and there's so much opulence in your movement, so it's very natural that, you can, do whatever you're doing. And that person pointed out that living entities in the material world, because of basically, the aspects of breaking the four regulative principles, right? It means Western culture, it's only breaking the four regulative principles. That's what it's based on. That's its foundation. So somebody has the fanciest car, best suit, nicest house, this and that, but there's no women involved, no anything involved, no one's appreciating any of that, nothing's going on in these ways, then it'll be rare to find a living entity who would stay in that position. Right? People have the money and positions because these other aspects are going on. Right? So therefore, if someone has a strong attraction for these things, they don't stay in the position. Therefore, we see, even within our movement, someone is in a big position, very well respected by hundreds, thousands of people, they'll leave it, for the appreciation of one person. Right? So therefore, there must be some advancement to even, hold a position or do anything that makes the mission go forward. Because it's Lord Chaitanya's mission. It won't go forward by anyone's material ability. Krishna may engage someone's material ability, therefore you'll see someone who, before becoming a devotee, had a particular material ability, and Krishna engages it and they do many nice things. But you see people who don't have that material, never dealt in these areas in their life. They're even sometimes even opposite of what they would be doing. Someone who is very much a recluse and that, and then you find that they're right in front and doing, frontline preaching. Or, they stayed away from management and this, and then they're the manager. You'll see many things like this. Many people, I've heard devotees comment that they would never be doing this if they were not a devotee. But somehow or another they're doing it and they're very expert. So, therefore, the mission won't go forward unless it has been empowered. Right? Someone can only get a result. Now the thing to see is that they're getting a result in some areas, maybe not in all areas. Therefore, there's a weakness, in character or in sadhana or in long term and how they can, their ability to perform devotional service. Therefore, they only stay for a certain amount of time and go away because some weakness is there. But in the areas where they excel, that's not due to material prowess. Those who are big preachers, that's not material prowess. That's spiritual potency. Those who are big managers, administrators, successful, that's spiritual potency. Because you see them now. See them now. You see who is managing, half of Europe and then what they're doing now. Right? They can't even manage to sell a few square tomatoes. Right? So, therefore, they weren't working on their own abilities. But because of not paying attention to the complete whole. You become proud of what you're doing, or you identify with what you're doing. You think, I am the manager, I am the preacher, I am the devotee. Then that will create a weed that will grow and will choke the creeper. Like that. And since there's plenty of weeds, you know, it's like that in material life, there's plenty to watch out for. And as we can see, it's not an uncommon thing for somebody to pull out many weeds but miss something else. While we're working on this side, then, you know, you get nice bushes in the back. You know? So one has to be very expert. That's why Lord Chaitanya said, put a fence around it, and then whatever's inside, you pull out all those weeds. You know? So without the fence, then your area of weeds is very big. So that fence is avoiding offending devotees. Like that. Then it sets a fence. Then it's much easier to pull out. Then you have less weeds to deal with. Otherwise, you have, you know, the open fields as far as we can see. You know, so then one has to be careful. So in there, also we see is that there's how much someone can handle. Prabhupada mentions that in purport, I think it's Bhagavatam purport, that sometimes the living entity gets tired of pushing forward their spiritual life. And they want to relax from that. So therefore, then what yesterday was just an ordinary obstacle to overcome in one's devotional service. You know, that just you dealt with it, it went by. Today may be insurmountable, just because one doesn't have that determination to overcome it, because one gets tired. You know, because it takes, one has to be committed to continue. In anything, it's like that. So we see those who get the farthest are those who have the greatest commitment to it. You know, someone's successful because they have that determination. You know, and because of these things, then people observe this, and then they write books about successful people, and they say because of these things, that thing, so many things. We know it's karma, that they had those qualities so that they could do it, and they received the result. But still, the point is there, that determination, one point of determination. So their determination becomes broadened. So once it's broadened, it becomes weaker. Right? Something very thin goes through very easy, something very wide doesn't move forward so much. So when it's one point, then it moves very easily. So if they're not careful, it gets branched, and they get distracted by the things, and it slows them down. Then the same obstacle that we went through before that was not a problem, today becomes very big, very difficult. Does that make some sense? So, therefore, it's hard to tell when someone will make, you know, sometimes by false ego someone will keep going, but since it's engaged in Krishna's service, it's not a disadvantage. Because the process still purifies. And if the process of purification is quicker than the, you know, that force of the false ego, then that will take over and the false ego will be dropped. But, you know, in the process of dropping off that false ego, that's generally where the living entity fails, like that, because the Krishna, Prabhupada mentions that Krishna purifies us through the fire of ordeal. So it's ordeal that's going to purify. So if we have any bad quality, it's going to be in that fire. So therefore, that heavy temple president that chastised some sincere devotee and they left, that was the ordeal that was too much for them. They decided not to continue. They could continue. So what's the big deal? Someone yells at you. So what? We get yelled at all the time. Right? Someone, they'll go outside, the karmis will yell at you, the police will yell at you, everyone will yell at you. Yelling at you, that's... One has to learn to live with it. But then there's but what is behind that? Otherwise, if they were so advanced, how could they live outside anyway? Unless when they're living outside, it's like a complete temple, this, and you just find from there, then it's a gathering, and then it's this and that, and it delves into big preaching. But if they just kind of go out, they kind of disappear, and then 10 years later, they kind of fade back in, then maybe the sincerity was not that developed. They were sincere in that area, but there may have been many other areas the sincerity wasn't so much. You know? So there's many, many things to look at. The whole point is that one stays in Krishna consciousness because of the association, the taste, advancement, like that. One can't just stay only for mundane purposes. If it is, then it's very, very obvious by others who are advanced. Because the external, what I meant before is the external itself you can't tell, but you can tell by the flavor of it. Just by someone leading a kirtan, you can't necessarily tell whether there is sincerity or not. But the flavor of it, you can tell. And the externals do manifest from the internal. So when the internal mood is there, it will manifest externally. So maybe not today, then tomorrow. They'll do something that externally is not right either. So it's all connected. What I was talking before was kind of more general. Because when you take it, that's the principles on which it's based. When you apply it to a specific, more case, like what you've mentioned, then more things come in. That's why I was saying you have to take it farther. Because then when you apply a principle into the detail, then you have to see everything surrounding it, seeing all the causes behind it. Here's a person. They're yelled at by the temple president here. You go to another temple. We have hundreds and hundreds of temples. I've seen that, so many devotees. They go here and then they go there. How come you're here? That temple. They're here. So why did they go away rather than go to another temple? Like that. So that is a consideration. That one may say is that gentleness is not necessarily sincerity. That's also conditioned nature. Someone may be very gentle, kind, very nice person. And actually, according to even Vaishnav standards, is a nice person. But it's the devotion, but the niceness is not spiritual. Niceness is material qualities. Those material qualities are used for Krishna, that's spiritual. It's like we have this table. The table isn't inherently spiritual. We use it for Krishna, it becomes spiritual. So that's what we're doing in this material world, is we're taking material things and spiritualizing by connecting them to Krishna in the right attitude, in the way that Krishna says it should be done. That gives a nice thing. So we may have a good attitude, seemingly, but if we don't do it as Krishna says, it's not good. So that means our mentality is not completely correct. Right? We haven't gone far enough to understand that how Krishna likes it done is best. So then our correct mentality means, if our mentality is correct, we want to please Krishna. That's the point Krishna's making in Gita. Right? Arjuna's following his Kshatriya Dharma, but for himself. So Krishna established Kshatriya Dharma, so to follow it properly is following Krishna's direction. But Kshatriya Dharma is only a medium for showing your devotion to Krishna. Therefore, it's not enough. So a person's very nice and gentle and kind. So therefore, if they come in contact with an abrasive personality, especially in a leading position, it may very much disturb them. Because a gentle person naturally has gentle thoughts and gentle ideals that therefore they're just common, they're gentle, therefore leaders will be leading in the gentle department. They'll be more gentle. And so when they don't see that, it bothers them. But still it's a mundane conception. Like that. Because spiritual means is engaged in Krishna's service. And then, so its engagement is what makes it spiritual. Now, there may be aspects of that engagement that aren't perfect, and those are material. But that you endeavored to do it for Krishna, that's spiritual. Does that make some sense? Someone tries to do something sincerely. If they're not expert, it may not come out very well done. Right? You look back, old pictures of how, let's say, devotees used to dress the deities. Their expertise was not so great as now. But in those days, it was everyone was inspired and everybody advanced. Everyone became attracted and attached to Krishna. So materially, it wasn't very developed. But spiritually, it was potent. Also, you go back many times, early days, the people who were managing the temples, they weren't managers. But they were just trying to get everybody to do spiritual things. When it came to management, they couldn't manage. Because everybody was volunteering to do whatever they said, it worked. Right? Everybody in the temple, whatever the temple president said, you just did. So you don't need a manager to lead a temple. You need someone who knows how to be Krishna conscious. That's all. So materially, they weren't very expert. You know, they were little run-down little places in some obscure corner of town. You know, that cost nothing to rent. You know, like that. That's what they could manage. So there's nothing. Now we're managing huge things. You know, even you have a temple, monstrous temples. And there's only a handful of devotees in the temple. It's not enough to actually maintain it, not that they're maintaining it. So that's more expertise. But we may not find that the spiritual atmosphere is so strong. So therefore, material expertise is not necessarily the important thing. The important thing is the consciousness. Then, of tools, expertise is the best thing to use, right? On the material platform, whatever we want means we want to serve Krishna. So we must use something to serve Krishna with. So naturally, the best is what we should serve Krishna with. Right? And if we don't have the best, we take the next best. We can't offer, you know, gold plates to Krishna. Okay, then we'll offer silver. We can't offer silver, we'll put bell metal. We can't do that, then, you know, it just keeps coming down. Right? But the best is what we should offer. So if someone has that ability that can manage or speak, we take that as the first. They'll be the leading in that area. But still, that they're using it for Krishna is spiritual. Like that. It's not enough. I've seen myself, big managers walk into this place, give seminars at GBC meetings, give all kinds of directions. Life goes on just the way it was. Right? I haven't seen any change by one big administrator, manager, visionary coming in and talking to any of the devotees. I've never seen. You know, I've been watching for years. So, therefore, it's not enough. Krishna doesn't, they don't get a foothold because it's Krishna's mission. Now, one would ask, well, how can bad things happen to good people? Right? This is a question that has been asked by, you know, some religious persons. Because the good person is not all good. If he was all good, he wouldn't be here. He'd be in the spiritual world. Or he would have come down from the spiritual world. Right? So that means there's some bad there. So, and by this definition, is even a good person, what's bad must be removed by ordeal. Even if he himself and whatever he's doing is perfectly Krishna conscious, he's not making any offense in this and that, but in the past he has. Right? The Ayurveda says disease comes from offense. If there's no offense, there's no disease. So because we performed an offense on some level, nam aparad, seva aparad, vaishnava aparad, or going against the principles of the Vedic culture, against the Shastra, that will create disease. That's the source of disease. It doesn't come from somewhere else. You know, you don't get the disease because the bug happens to be around. Otherwise, why is it that, you know, Europe even had any people left? Right? Because they were in the same environment with everybody else. Right? I've seen myself. We had a kid once. I remember, I think, three cases, kind of historically, of typhoid in Mayapur. You know, Vrindavan, it's more common. Here, not very common. And typhoid is highly contagious. Highly contagious disease. It's one of those diseases, if the doctors know you have it, it's freak out. You're in quarantine, separate, you know, everybody wears masks, it's a trip. But I saw a boy with typhoid, you know, then we keep him there, keep everything very clean. That kid got cured of typhoid, no one else got it. Right? So, therefore, if you have the karma to get it, you'll get it. Of course, you don't unnecessarily be foolish and subject yourselves, because you're supposed to use your intelligence for Krishna. So intelligence means you avoid situations that will be dangerous. Right? Like that. That's your endeavor. Krishna will reward. Whether you're successful or not, that's karma. But you, it's your duty to serve Krishna by attempting. Right? So therefore we see is that even someone nice, they're still going to go through ordeals. If the ego is less, the ordeals can be reduced. Because someone who's more gentle, the ordeal is very small. It means for them, something that is an ordeal to them is little. You know? Like that. It's just a little thing doesn't bother them. You know? Some guy is, you know, how do you say? Riding his bicycle down the side of a mountain and then over a cliff and then pulls his parachute and then lands with the bicycle in the rushing stream and all that and goes over the waterfall into the pool and he goes, wow, that was great. You know, someone else is hearing about it, it freaks them out and they couldn't even. You know? So therefore, what one person will call an ordeal, the other person might not. So the thing, like, you find the person yelled at him, he left the temple. Probably on this, you know, you'd have to check it, you know, on 1 to 10, what was the scale? Like that. You know, because it may be that because they were so gentle, you know, their chastisement was on the level of 0.5. But for them, that was a lot. According to their conditioned nature, that was a lot. You know? But according to someone else, it may have been nothing. So therefore, perception is there based on one's conditioned nature, according to one's karma. That's why perception is important, but it is a starting point for going. Therefore, a good manager, a good administrator, a good preacher can check what is the position of perception of the particular individual, start from there, and then try to bring them forward. So that they were chastised, the person left, and everybody else considered they were very sincere, could have meant that there was a misjudgment on the perception or position by the authority. Like that. They misjudged, either due to some reason of false ego. You know, like that. So then, so that has to be seen. But at the same time that the person went away, why did they go away? Just because we're chastised? I mean, we have so many examples of devotees being chastised, and they don't go away from Krishna consciousness. That's why these ordeals are there. The Pandavas didn't go away. And I'm sure that we won't find a devotee who, being the emperor of the world, lost everything due to cheating. And, you know, his wife was insulted and he was banished to the forest. I don't think you'll find one devotee historically, other than the Pandavas, who had that experience. So therefore, anything less than that is tolerable. You know, that's why the example is given. So therefore, your wife's insulted, you're this, so that doesn't mean you go away from Krishna consciousness. You may go away from that situation. You know, a situation in which you're insulted, then it's recommended you don't stay in that situation. You adjust the situation to avoid that association with those persons. Therefore, the Pandavas lived in Indraprastha. They didn't live in Hastinapura. Like that. It was considered the better, you know, arrangement. But they survived. You know, what is it? I forget what his name is. Something Patanayaka? One of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. You know, made some mistake and, or there was some rumor, it was actually a rumor about him, on how he was misappropriating funds. He was a tax collector. So he was about to be killed by throwing off the, you know, a high place onto swords that are just stuck up like this. Like this. You know, he was up there ready to drop him off, up to that point, and then it was finally understood that it was a mistake. Like that. You know, he could have said, wow, I'm a devotee, and then this happened to me, you know, why I should be a devotee. No, he goes on. Because the point is if anything happens to you, because that there is an element that we're not a devotee, therefore it's happening. If we were a devotee, it wouldn't happen to us. Right? It wouldn't happen to us. And if we are the devotee, we're the pure, you know, devotee, you know, uttam bhakta, and it is happening to us, then that's the Lord's plan to set example for others. And it doesn't bother us. It's not an obstacle for our devotion. Because nothing of the conditioned nature in the conditioned world has any meaning anyway. The universe doesn't have any meaning to Yudhishthira, let alone losing the world. The only thing important to him is devotion to Krishna. as a kshatriya, he engages his kshatriya nature in Krishna's service. So he has a facility, he serves on the throne. He doesn't, he serves in the forest. You know? He was, you know, out of the position, he was more absorbed. Right? So therefore, if you're in a position and then someone else politics and takes over for you and they become the authority and you're relieved from that burden, then instead of getting mental, moving out of the temple, freaking out, then you should do like Yudhishthira. Wow, so much time I save. I don't have to be on email at 6 in the morning. I could be chanting my japa. You know, like that. I don't have to be solving, you know, unsolvable problems, you know, at night. I can be reading Krishna book and going to bed. You know, so it's a benediction. So Yudhishthira, in one way, felt it was a benediction, that now they're relieved of this. I think they were even told by one of the sages, I can't remember who used to visit them, maybe Narad Muni or others, says, Krishna's saving you from all this. Otherwise you have to live with Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra and all these persons. And he was Krishna conscious, always surrounded by devotees. Situation was different, but he went on. Does that make sense? In other words, it's not correct. That means we should always avoid being the instrument for harsh consequences for others' correction in devotional service. You know what I'm saying? It means somebody's got to do it. Let's say for your correction, you're supposed to be chastised. Somebody will do it. Because one living entity's karma is given to them by another. Their happiness and distress comes through another person. It doesn't come on its own. It comes through somebody. You know, like that. Either here, a demigod, or somebody. It comes through somebody. So therefore, you will be chastised by somebody. So therefore, we should avoid being that person. You know, unless they're a dependent, it's our duty, and we do it in such a way, considering everything, that they correct themselves in advance. We should avoid being the one that it's so heavy in that it completely freaks them out and they lose. We should avoid being that person. Better to let someone else do it. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. But that we were doing it doesn't mean that the other person didn't deserve it. But that we were the instrument and it was wrong how we dealt, we will get reactions. So therefore, someone in the future will also deal with us in that way. That's the thing. Being the instrument doesn't mean that you're not responsible. Like that. If you're doing it out of ego. Like that. If there is actual proper cause for it in Krishna consciousness, you know, then it's not ego. Like the parent may chastise the child for their benefit because it is their duty to see that the child grows up properly and learns proper values, directions. So they may have to chastise. But they should do it in such a way that elevates, improves the child rather than makes them worse. Does that make some sense? Yeah, like that. So therefore, on these things that we notice them, that's the first step. Many people don't notice, which is also fine, and they don't get involved. But if we do have a nature that we notice these things, then we should contemplate them and take them further as far as we can. Take means each line has to go to the Krishna conscious position. You know, what would be the Krishna conscious standard for that authority? What would have been Krishna conscious standard for the person who was the junior? You know, what would have been in, like that? Then we learn from all situations. Then we don't become discouraged. Otherwise we may become discouraged because if you only take it certain far, you only know a certain amount. And if there's only known a certain amount, then that can create ignorance, and ignorance creates disturbance. You know, or you know, things don't go forward. Anxiety and all that. But if we take it through to the actual principles of Krishna consciousness and the Krishna consciousness itself, you know, the technique, in other words, the techniques of Krishna consciousness and Krishna consciousness itself, then we'll be inspired, because then we're working with goodness and pure goodness. So then, even though it's not a good situation, we will learn from it, and we will make adjustments in our own life that we improve ourselves. Right? Therefore, Prabhupada says, even if one person out of everyone becomes Krishna conscious, everyone else bloops, one person becomes a pure devotee, it was all the endeavor was worth it. Right? like that. Because it's understood, as even if someone goes, they'll continue. Okay. So we should end here. Kantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srimad Prabhupada ki, Samavita Bhaktivinda ki, Chaitanya Gaurav Premanandi.